You can tell them in the country, tell them in the town. The miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillow, load another ton, or lift another finger till the union we have won. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.
Welcome to the Labor Exchange on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and Denver Newspaper Guild, Local 37074. First, an update on railroad negotiations. Smart Transportation Division and the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen have reached a tentative agreement with the railroad. Next, members will vote on the agreement. Be sure to listen back to our interviews with Carl Smith of Smart Transportation Division on this topic in the archives, and we stand in solidarity with rail families. Okay, so on this episode, we're going to hear voices speaking at a rally about the looming home health care crisis and the workers who do that work. Here is KGNU host Hannah Stewart describing the situation, followed by a speech at the rally held last week by Colorado Care Workers United and SEIU Local 105.
The Colorado Health Institute estimates that 1 in 5 Coloradans will be over the age of 65 by 2030. This means that there is growing demand of jobs, especially in the direct care industry. PHI, formerly the Paraprofessionals Health Institute, estimates that there will be a demand of more than 100,000 jobs in the industry by 2028. Yesterday, home care workers, legislators, and members of Care Workers Unite met at the state capitol for a rally and a press conference. In recent weeks, 39 state legislators, plus numerous candidates for office, have signed on in support of the Home Care Worker Bill of Rights as a means to address the critical worker shortage in the industry, providing aging adult and disability care in communities across Colorado. Melissa Benjamin, External Health Care Organizing Coordinator for SEIU Local 105 and CC Wu, described home health care as an essential service sector in crisis in her speech on Capitol Steps.
We were here in July introducing our Home Care Worker Bill of Rights that will address the rampant poverty wages, unsafe conditions, and lack of respect that is driving these workers away in record numbers and creating a serious worker shortage. This year, 60% of home care workers will leave this industry. They just can't feed their kids. They can't pay the rent. They can no longer do it. They want to, but they're at a place where they have to make the difficult decision to leave the industry, right? And that is saying something, and it's long past time to pay attention. Us care workers, we've been in this capital for the last 7 years. 7 years telling our stories, offering our solutions, right? And it's time for these workers to be able to have a seat at a decision-making table. The reason why? Is Colorado will need more and more care workers in the coming years, and we are failing. We are failing these care workers, and they're leaving this industry. It's long past time our leaders step up and do what's necessary to reverse this. And those who have stepped up, thank you for doing that. The ones who have not need to step up and give that support too, right? We are back here today because we are gaining momentum and legislative support for the Home Care Worker Bill of Rights, with over 50 legislators and candidates signed on. The only way to fix this industry is for our legislators to take bold action at the Capitol and not be afraid to do what's right. These workers have to take bold action every day as they stand together and put their faces out there, and their employers see that, and they do it fearlessly. Right? And we need the same support from our legislators at the Capitol to not be afraid to stand up for what's right.
That was SEIU Local 105 and Colorado Care Workers United organizer Melissa Benjamin speaking at a home health care rally on the steps of the state capitol. Next, we'll hear an interview with Cassandra Matthews by KGNU Denver program manager Dave Ashton, who also recorded the audio for the rally.
My name is Cassandra Matthews, and I'm here representing CC Wu.
What does CC Wu stand for?
We are a union for healthcare workers United, that's who I'm representing, is the healthcare worker side of it.
So, Cassandra, tell us about, you know, your experience as a home care worker. What are some of the, like, you know, challenges and triumphs that you've experienced in your work?
Oh, okay. So the main thing is the wages. We have to work long wages for $15 an hour, which is not able to sustain in the state of Colorado. We work long hours, no health benefits, but yet we still do the job because we have the love and compassion for people.
Mm-hmm. So the Home Healthcare Workers Bill of Rights looks to really just raise those wages as well as overall work conditions, right?
Absolutely. Better wages, better benefits, just to be able to have a word in what goes on in the health industry. The Bill of Rights is definitely going to be something awesome once it's approved.
Do you think people overall are kind of uninformed about this whole industry?
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of people think when you think of home care, you think of taking care of little old people. But in fact, it's a lot more. We are doing people after they have surgeries. You're in the hospital 4 hours, 4 days. You get home. You have to have someone there to help you. We have a lot of handicapped people, disabled people that are trying to sustain to be on their own. And the only way they can do that is with the assistance of home care workers. I think people don't realize the wide, vast areas that we touch.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe, you know, some of your other colleagues in this work?
Everybody's awesome. We're fighting together, we're standing together. People have their own individual personal problems that come along with this. Me personally, working long hours away from my own family, missing kids events, different things like that. We have people that don't have health care. We were out with COVID, helping people with COVID, but yet didn't have health care of our own. These are really strong individuals, mainly women, mainly minority women. But it's time to just make change. It's time to make the changes.
So a lot of work is being put into getting the legislature's attention. How do you feel like this process is going?
It's going great. It's going great. A lot of legislators are out. We got about 50 already signed on. They're really surprised, as the public is, of what people are getting paid. They are really surprised that healthcare workers don't have healthcare. So the word is getting out. So I'm thinking next year this is going to pass. It's looking good. It's looking good.
It sounds a little bit like the, you know, management and companies that are the go-betweens could stand to treat their workers a lot better. Is there always like kind of a constant element of stress that comes in with the bureaucratic aspect of doing this work?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that we are pushing, is that we're making companies accountable. They have to be accountable for the wages. They have to be accountable for the training. They have to be accountable for how they're treating their employees. And we're trying to get the Bill of Rights to make them accountable. They're billing the insurance companies at the top of the line dollars, but they're paying bottom of the line dollars. So there are definitely over 900 home care agencies just in the state of Colorado. They have to be able to be held accountable for this, absolutely.
I've heard wage theft mentioned a couple times. What does that look like? How does a home health care worker get taken advantage of and their wages stolen?
Well, there's many ways. You have people that travel 20, 30 miles to get to a client. They don't pay mileages. They don't pay gas. You have people that are doing home care and they can't leave until someone else shows up. And the company will tell you, oh, we only can pay you for 4 hours, and maybe you're there 6 hours. they have different things. They have, if you work overnight, they don't pay you. They'll pay you $2 an hour and say those are sleep hours. It's just ridiculous, the loops and loops that they can pull out to keep from paying people.
So you're looking to really close some of those loopholes and just regulate how employers can treat their workers.
Absolutely, absolutely. It just needs to be some type of Bill of Rights, some type of something that makes people accountable, makes everybody on the same playing field, and make all companies know that this is what is acceptable and this is what not is acceptable.
When, you know, early in the remarks, someone mentioned that 60% of the workers in this industry will leave the industry by the end of the year. That seems like a kind of a quiet crisis unfolding for people that need help.
Oh, absolutely. They're already losing workers. I am one of the workers that had to leave. I went to the hospitals just for this reason. But the numbers came out yesterday. Colorado, the average rent is $2,000. In order to sustain that, you must make minimum $20 an hour. So people have to do what they have to do in order to pay for and provide for their own families. And with the baby boomers here, and they're needing people to take care of them, and you're not having the healthcare workers to provide this service, it's a big crisis just waiting to happen. Absolutely.
So overall, it seems like the effort here is to just stabilize this industry.
Absolutely. That's it. Just to get it where it needs to be, because it's not going anywhere. It's definitely not going anywhere. Home care has been here from the beginning, and it's going to be here till the end. We just want to be able to give people their due respect.
Where can KGNU's listeners go for more information or to show their support?
Let's see here. They can go down to CC Wu. They have their own website. They have everything on their different events. They have a QR code where you can sign the Bill of Rights. Please, anybody, get on there. CC Wu, home care workers, sign the Bill of Rights. It's called Colorado Home Care Bill of Rights.
Thanks, Cassandra. Thanks for all your work.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you.
That was home health care worker Cassandra Matthews. Next, we'll hear Dave's interview with Angie Fulmer, a retired registered nurse and supporter of home health care workers.
My name is Angie Fulmer. I am an RN. I've been a nurse in the healthcare industry for 40 years as a PCP, as a CNA, as an LPN, and as an RN. Last 10 years of my career was as an RN case manager. Went back to school and got a bachelor's degree in healthcare administration. So I see this, and I've been a patient, trust me. So I see this from many, many, many points of view.
So Angie, you've worked in this industry, sounds like your whole career. And tell us about some of the challenges that you faced along the way.
Well, trying to keep when you're doing acute care, you've got your four patients. You go in the morning, you get your report on your four patients. Now that I understand that they've increased that because of the staffing shortages, I understand hospital nurses are taking care of eight patients, which is unbelievable to me, because you got the little old lady trying to climb out the bed, the little old man over here trying to pull his catheter out. You got blood hanging here. You got an IV antibiotic here. You got bells going off all the place. And you got one guy way at the other end of the hall that wants ice chips. You know, you got to take care of them all.
So, wow, with just that description there, it seems like you really have to be in touch with just all of your patients' individual needs at all times.
At all times, yes, sir, you do. And home care is no different. They try to say, oh, the streets are our hallways. Well, you know what that does? That just makes it longer to get to people. That's all that does. Longer to get to folks. They want you to get in there, do a start of care in 2 hours, and be able to call the doctor, call, verify the drugs the patient's on from the pharmacy. You got to be able to do all of this stuff in 2 hours and turn in the paperwork.
So it's go, go, go.
It's go, go, go. And if I'm not going, I'm working on an open somewhere in my car, in my home somewhere on a computer. And I'd go home, and my 14-year-old we adopted, his special needs kid too, and trying to deal with him and his little stuff, it's just too much. It's all just too much. I have pulmonary fibrosis when I got COVID. They didn't want to pay me my PPE until I mentioned it. I went in there and said, now I know y'all got some bean counters in there, and you know you got some lawyers. And there's a law that passed that said, with the Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP, you got to pay me for being off with COVID. And 2 weeks later, my boss said, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I said, well, you ain't trying too hard because my horses are 10 minutes from your house. I live 20 minutes from you. You're certainly not trying to get a hold of me that bad.
So it sounds like you've really had to, call management to task on quite a few issues.
I do. And they don't like it. They see me as a loudmouth rabble rouser, so I bet you they're glad I retired. But the last year I worked, it was so bad I couldn't keep up with the charting. I couldn't keep up with any of it. I had, unbeknownst to me, I had osteoporosis and pulmonary fibrosis. I couldn't go up and down the stairs anymore, running and trying to keep up with the schedule for the whole day. I just couldn't do it anymore, and it took a big toll on me.
So now that you're retired, you have, I think, more time for advocacy?
Yeah, this is going to be my second job, my second career, and it's needed. It's overdue, just like anybody else. I have worked in the fields beside migrant farm workers planting tomatoes. I was 17 years old, okay, living in Florida. I was picking tomatoes for a quarter of a bushel. And living in Jesus Freak commune down there. Huh. And yes, my family is big, strong in the labor movement. John Henry Russell was my grandfather. My father was Manuel Kutlakas. Just look up UFCW and you're gonna see their pictures there. They're going like this. So this is bringing me back to my roots, and I love it.
So what's some of the work that's gone on to get the home care health workers Bill of Rights, advanced? We were out here in July, talking about the possibilities. Now it seems like you're getting some legislators' attention.
We are, finally. And, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And this is where we're at. When Jared Polis signed that $15 minimum wage into law, that was a start. And we said that wasn't enough at the time.
So what are some of the things that you want to make sure are included?
I want to make sure that that bosses are not harassing their workers if they come in with a COVID-19 diagnosis or exposure, that they cannot turn around and threaten to take you to the State Board of Nursing for abandonment of patients. That is bull. I'm sorry.
It seems like there's a real conflict between the heart and the compassion of the workers and some of the bureaucracy that you have to go up against.
Yes, yes. The expectations are too high. Expectations of what a person can do are too high.
I'm hearing is that it's a huge need and it's only growing. That people's awareness of it is maybe pretty low until, the time comes in their family where the need is there.
My mother she had a CABG done about maybe 5 years ago. And so I called her doctor. I said, she needs some medication teaching. And I'm trying to case manage my mother while I'm case managing my clients, okay? And it was a week later, and I said, Mama, have you gotten a nurse out there yet? Oh, no, I haven't got one. I called her doctor, and I said, I don't know about where you live, but federal laws are still the federal laws. And the next day, they had a nurse out there opening her case.
So I guess a lot of us really aren't aware of, the legal framework that this all exists in.
No, the legal framework that this exists in is stressful. You have to be on it. not only when I walk into that patient's house, first thing I do when I meet people, hi, how you doing? We talk, I go over the Bill of Rights with you. Then we talk money. How are you going to pay for all these services you're getting? Okay, it could be Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, private. And then you want to look at their skin. I need to look at your butt. Now, if I've just met you, you going to trust me looking at your butt? Right? So it's a dignity issue. And you have to establish a rapport with people before you go right to the job. You have to win their confidence that you know what you're doing, how to do it, what meds are going to do, how to prevent the side effects, and how to deal with them. You have to know how to sell yourself to people that you can trust me to take care of you. That's nursing. When it should be, I'm compassionate, I'm spending time with people that are dying, or the guy with SVT, spending 4 hours at his house, not running off to somebody else. You know, and it just, I just got to where I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, thanks for all your work. Where would you recommend people go for more information or to show some support for the Home Health Care Workers Bill of Rights?
They have a website, CC Wu does. They are on Facebook and the Service Workers Union here. And we're also hooked up with the airport workers because the housekeeping and all that. Everybody's got to stand together. I don't care if it's the little pathologist guy sitting in there looking at cells all day. Or the person cleaning the bathroom in the nursing home. We got to come together and be one unit. Because together we're stronger.
Thanks for being on KGNU today.
Thank you.
That was retired nurse Angie Fulmer. Next we'll hear from Eliza Hamrick, who spoke at the rally and is running for state house in Colorado.
My name is Eliza Hamrick, and I am a candidate for House District 61. I am in the teachers union, and I have many students that have been impacted in some way by home health care workers. So I'm here supporting them, and I'm here supporting our most vulnerable populations, the people that are at home and need health care.
So Eliza, what is the impact for these students that you mentioned?
20% of the people that are cared for are people that need home health care workers to come in and actually care for them. They can't even get out of their bed. And so I have some students that are like that. And also the students that work in this field, 80% don't have health care. So these are people that are going and caring for our most vulnerable. They are the first point of contact. They're the only point of contact often for these vulnerable patients at home. They are the advocates for these patients. And their pay is terrible. Many of them are houseless, and this is just an injustice.
So we heard at the beginning of today's remarks that 60% of the home healthcare workers will leave the industry this year. That seems like kind of a quiet crisis unfolding.
Yeah, it really is. And these home healthcare workers are... Basically, it's a calling. It's a calling for them to be in this profession. They can't afford to do what they're called to do is heartbreaking. We need to support them.
So what does the healthcare home workers Bill of Rights call for?
It's going to be calling for a competitive wage. It's going to be calling for health benefits and support for our home healthcare workers.
Thanks for being on KGNU today.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure.
That was Eliza Hamrick, a supporter and candidate for State House. Finally, we're going to hear from supporter and Representative Lisa Cutter, who is running for State Senate.
Lisa Cutter. I'm currently a state representative for House District 25, and I'm running for State Senate District 20.
So, Representative Cutter, why are you out here on the Capitol steps this morning supporting the Home Health Care Worker Bill of Rights?
Because we heard some incredibly powerful stories this morning, and this is such an important part of our society. Everyone is aging. I have an elderly mother. I have an elderly mother-in-law that's in a facility right now. Home healthcare workers are such an important part of our society, and it really says a lot about us, the way we treat people who are taking care of some of our most vulnerable people, and I think we need to do better.
some of the stories we heard today are really heartbreaking, working, you know, 16, 18 hours, being unable to see one's own family while taking care of other families. It just seems like who can really maintain that for very long?
And why should they have to? I mean, it was shocking to me. I knew that the state of affairs was bad. I mean, I always kind of had that in the back of my mind. But hearing some of these stories this morning really brought it home to me. And why should anyone, why should our society expect anyone to work that hard to make a decent living, especially doing something so important? Sometimes I think we value the wrong things, and valuing people that are taking care of our families and our loved ones, how much more important does it get? I mean, that is such a critical part of our society, and I'm, you know, child care workers, healthcare workers, all of those things, I think we need to value more with our actions, the way we treat them, the way we pay them, the working environment we create for them.
So do you feel like the pressure needs to be put on the legislators by their constituents?
Always. If something is important, that is, listen, that's who I listen to, my constituents. If they think something's important, that's their power. That's our power as individuals, is to raise your voice, talk to your legislator, write a letter to the editor, do all of the things that you can to raise your voice and make your concern known. If you have a loved one with a home health care worker, who's a home health care worker is taking care of, tell your story. Get out there and raise your voice. I mean, that is how change happens.
It seems like there, you know, it's a particular kind of person with a particular kind of heart who's able to do this work for people who are not members of their own family.
Oh my gosh, yes. I don't even know how they do it. I mean, I'm that also really struck me listening to stories today too, how these people are really, it's grueling work. It's thankless work. They don't get paid well. All of these things. And yet they're out there providing compassionate care to the people that are important to us in our lives. It was really amazing.
So how can people reach out and make sure that this, does get in front of their legislators in an organized way?
Oh, that's a good question. You can call my office or your legislator, your specific legislator. You can write letters. You can write letters to the editor. I think that's really important when there's public pressure amplified beyond individual legislators. When people see and understand the problem, you can tell stories on social media.
Okay. And where can people find out more about your campaign?
They can go to cutterforcolorado.com. And it's CUTTERFOR, Colorado.com.
Thanks for being on KGNU today.
Thank you so much for talking to me this morning.
Thank you all for joining us. This has been the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren. Have a great day.
You can tell them in the country, tell them in the town. The miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillow. Another ton or lift another finger till the union we have won. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.